It is indeed a joy and privilege for Kay and I to be here with you. We've had a long-standing relationship with this good congregation, and it's always good to be in your midst. I appreciate the elders inviting us to come and to give a report on a portion of your mission work. I appreciate Jimmy allowing me the time when he's usually filling the pulpit for this. And I hope and trust that the report that I'll be giving tonight will be beneficial and will let you know a little bit more detail about this portion of your mission work. There you are. You were over there a while ago. But we do know many of you. When we came in just a little bit early so I could make sure that everything's right up in the control room, the first guy I met was Ethan Hunt. And then Elaine came down a while ago, and we chatted. Elaine was in our youth group at Grant Street. I was working there, and you know how it just kind of makes you feel. many roads traveled. But anyway, we have a very great appreciation for Bethel. When we got started in the Russian work back in the early 90s, I made my first trip in November of 1992, and I began to raise support for us to do full-time work there. Bethel was one of the first, and you've been with us ever since, and we appreciate that more than I can express tonight. God bless you for that, and I trust that the trust that you've put in us and the work there is paying dividends, and I hope that the presentation that I'll be giving tonight will just show what your support and your prayers have gone for. I'm not giving a sermon as such. I'll give an invitation at the end, but what we're doing tonight is entirely appropriate. You've often heard this, but again, in Acts chapter 14, as Paul and Barnabas have returned to Antioch from the first missionary journey, begins in verse 26 of Acts 14. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so what I'm going to be reporting to you tonight is what God has done through us and many, many others, this congregation, many other congregations like you. So this is a report on the Syktyvkar Bible School in Syktyvkar, Russia. We've been equipping the Russian church for over 20 years. And we're just getting our wind. We're just getting ready to go into an exciting new era. Just to give you an idea of where Syktyvkar is, it's in northern European Russia, about 800 miles northeast of Moscow. Now, on this spread out, Russia covers 11 time zones. So when you spread it out, you know the distances kind of become distorted. It almost looks like we're due east of Moscow. Actually, we're northeast of Moscow, about 800 miles. But that is where the Lord's Church has been ever since 1991 and where the school has been ever since 1994. I work as dean of the school. When we lived there, Kay taught in the women's class, in the women's program. I taught courses in the men's program. Today, the oversight of this school is still under the oversight of the elders of the West Main Church of Christ in Tupelo, Mississippi. They're the ones that established the church in the very beginning. When we were there working with the church and they were working with the schools, our works dovetailed and complemented one another. And now the local administration of the school is under the oversight of the elders of the Syktyvkar Church of Christ. And here is Brother Gennady Sherbakov on the left and Linda Ivashov on the right. They are our two elders there. Some of you may remember back in 1994, Brother Gennady had come and he was staying with us about 6 weeks. And so I took him out on my reporting and let him do the reporting firsthand. And we came here to Bethel over in the other non-existent building now. And he was with us. We worshiped with you. We talked with the elders afterwards. And some of you may remember that time. But the two elderships worked together in the administration and the oversight of the school. This is where the Syktyvkar Bible School is housed locally. It's in the church building of the Syktyvkar Church of Christ. This is a rather new building, entirely owned and paid for by much of it by the Russians themselves, but it's free of any debt. The bottom floor is reserved for the church. About all of the top floor is reserved for the Bible school. There is an efficiency apartment there for American teachers who go over and teach. There is an office area there, the library, large classrooms for the school. And so the Lord has really blessed us with a good facility to work out of. Our mission really is threefold, and it's logical when you consider what we're doing. First of all, is to train evangelists. Evangelists who will go out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Russia. And that is what we're about, trying to train them to preach the gospel and also just ordinary Christians in the pew, how to share their faith with others, because not only the evangelists go out, but also Christians share their faith. It's not all the preacher's job. Secondly, to train church leaders. We're trying to train future elders. Syktyvkar was among the first to have elders. They've had elders now for a little over 10 years. I believe now there is one other or maybe two more churches in Russia that have elders, but we have 55-plus congregations. And after 25 years of the gospel being there, there should be more elders. So we're about trying to train elders as well as church leaders. And also so that they will be perpetually training good and faithful men. But the third purpose of our work there is to bring weak Christians to spiritual maturity in the Word. I'll be talking a little bit later on about the distance learning program, and that is one of the ways that we try to accomplish this third objective. Let me introduce you to our staff. Again, this is Brother Gennady Sherbakov on the right, and to his left is Paul Mihailov. He serves as our co-director. He's a young man, a brilliant young man, in his mid-20s, just recently married to a Christian girl there in Syktyvkar. He is now the co-director. Brother Gennady is, if I'm not mistaken, 77 years old now. For a Russian, that is very old, but he's in good health. The Lord is still using him. We've tried to find a way to clone him, and it hadn't worked out yet. So in the meantime, he is mentoring Paul to take in and to fill his steps. And they work very well together, a young man with an older man. He highly respects Brother Gennady. Gennady puts a lot of trust and confidence in him. And we believe that the Lord willing, when it's time for Gennady to step down, probably in about two more years, that Paul will be primed and ready to just hit the ground running. He already is. But they work together very well. This is Maxim Ivashov. He serves in the administration of our distance learning program. He is the son of one of our elders, Brother Leonid. These are our three translators who translate all of the material that go into making the curriculum for the Bible school. All of the other materials involved in the work, they're the ones that do it. When our teachers go over to teach, they are the ones that translate for them. They are faithful sisters. The two ladies on either end have been with the church from the very, very beginning. Let me talk a little bit now about our training, what we do. This graphic indicates, first of all, the distance learning program. And the goal of this is simply to ground and mature Christians. you know what distance learning is. It's just about in every educational institution now, and it's the going thing. It makes sense. It's practical. It's cost effective. And the idea is, instead of bringing the students from where they are into where the training is, you just reverse that and you take the training to where the students are. And you work around their schedule while they're still at home, on the job, with the family, working in the local church. That's what this is about. This is one of our main programs right now. It just makes so much sense. I'll be talking more about our campus program in just a little bit. But the model where for 2 years you bring people out of their home to a location to train them, and they're out of service, they're away from home, they're not in the local congregation for 2 whole years, it's just not the best situation. And so we're trying to not only just equip Christians to ground them better in the Word, but also to do some in-service training for leadership by way of distance learning. But the students study at their own pace. All of it is hard copy material. We don't do anything by internet. Many, many people, believe it or not, do not have a computer. If they have a computer, they don't have internet access. So all of our training is done by hard copy. Each student receives a copy of the courses, and they study through the week totally on their own. They can study all of the 5 units in one day or spread it out however they want. But once a week, we have all of the students in a learning center to come together at usually at the meeting place, which is the church building where they worship, for the purpose of taking exams, but more than that, for fellowship. Those of you who have been involved in distance learning well know that the Achilles heel of distance learning is self-discipline. When you stay on the job, you've got family, you've got community, you've got everything else on your plate. So many times a student will start off just great guns, all on fire, just really going at it, but life happens. And slowly but surely the training starts losing ground on priority until it's way down here at the bottom and they just quit altogether. The way we've tried to overcome that, and we've been very successful at it, is to require our students, they're on their own during the week, but once a week for an hour, we have them to assemble, and that's a requirement. And we have had a very great retention rate, much higher than the average, and we attribute it to the way we administer it, with having them to come together. They're encouraged. They get to meet their fellow students. They know that they're in this together. Sometimes we do hook up when they're in assembly via Skype or some other media like that with Siktivkar. Sometimes Brother Gennady is there to give encouragement via the program to the students locally. Our objective is to ground and mature them in the faith. Think of it this way. They are good leavening within a congregation. I'll be showing you a map in just a little bit about the 55-plus congregations in Russia. Most of them are very, very weak, very weak. And to the extent that we can house students within those congregations that every day, every week are in the Word of God, and they are being trained, and their faith is growing, they are maturing, that will spread. And if you've got 8 to 10 students within the congregation that's taken the courses, and they come together in the local worship with the congregation, it can't help but have a good effect. And that's the whole purpose. That's the objective that we're trying to maintain. And this is just a graphic showing how our administration is. Of course, everything is centered there in Siktivkar. That's where Brother Gennady and Paul are. That's where our translators are. That's where our facility is. But each one of these circles represents a congregation that has agreed to host a learning center, as we call it, for our distance learning program. So each one of these congregations agreed to host, use their facilities for a meeting place and a distribution point for the material. And then there are students from within that congregation that form that learning center. Right now, we have about 35 learning centers, both in Russia and in Ukraine. And when this was done earlier in the year, we had about 120 students. But you are all familiar with what's going on in eastern Ukraine and what has happened down in Crimea. That's the devil working. It has affected the Lord's work. It's affected our Bible school. A lot of our learning centers was in the eastern part of Ukraine. And this has severely affected it. Some of the congregations no longer exist where there was a learning center. Many of them have gone to western Ukraine and are trying to reestablish. Some of them have survived and are still meeting. But now the number of students is down to about 108 right now, and largely due to this problem in Ukraine. The distance learning program is a four-year curriculum. Now, first 2 years is New Testament, the last 2 years is Old Testament, and interspersed in both of those are miscellaneous topical studies. But all of these, you cover all of the books of the Bible, the Godhead, church, first principles, evangelism, home and family, Christian evidences. A student going through all 4 years and staying the course will have a firm Bible knowledge within that congregation. The material is self-teaching. The material is the teacher. Our distance learning students don't have a teacher to stand up in front of them in a classroom situation. And so the material is programmed. It is divided up into modules, about four modules typically to a course. Each module is broken down into units, about five units each. And it is designed so that it self-teaches. And some of you educators probably know what I'm talking about. It is where they will go through a unit of material, and then they are immediately quizzed upon that content, and they turn the page to see if they got the answers are on the next page. They are immediately told whether they got it right or they didn't get it right, and you build on the information, a little bit building blocks, until they have the material. Our vision for the distance learning program is to establish learning centers in all of the 55-plus congregations in Russia. We're already in about 35. Now, some of those are in Ukraine, but I would say that there are about 27 or 28 congregations in Russia right now. And part of what Gennady and Paul do through the year, they travel firsthand to each of the congregations in Russia. And I'll show you a map that Brother Gennady used, an old Russian map that shows every place where he has visited over the past several years, and recruit for the school, both for the campus program and also for the distance learning program. So it's a lot of work involved. But we are wanting to strengthen congregations throughout through the influence of the distance learning students. Here are some shots of some of the learning centers. The one up here in the upper left-hand corner is the learning center there in Syktyvkar. Gennady is the one there. Each learning center has a volunteer from the congregation to act as a facilitator, or you might call him a mentor. Really not a mentor because he's not the teacher. The material, remember, is the teacher. But this person is the one in charge of the assemblies each week when they come together. And he's the one that opens the doors, turns the lights on. He's the one that receives the exams from Syktyvkar, administers the exams, sends them back. He's the one that supplies the sweets and the tea that's always present, that kind of thing. Gennady is serving as that in that role there in Syktyvkar. But here are some of the other learning centers elsewhere. A learning center will typically have from 8 to 10 people in them. And then we want to look at the other aspect of our training, and that is the campus program, the full-time program in Syktyvkar. This is to train to evangelists and church leaders, and this is in Syktyvkar. We have two programs, the men's program and the women's program. The men's program is now a one-year program. When we started off over 20 years ago, it was a typical two-year preacher training school curriculum. However, through the years, for whatever reason, it became harder and harder to get enough students. The elders in Tupelo had placed a long time ago that three is the minimum. Anything less than three students enrolled, we have to close the doors. And that time really came a little over a year ago. So we got together, the elders in Syktyvkar and the elders in Tupelo, and we decided, okay, we're just going to step back. We're going to temporarily suspend the full-time program on campus, and we're going to continue to put our emphasis on the distance learning program. Our doors never closed. We've got over 100 students. But we're talking about the campus full-time program. And so we wanted to look at it and see what we're doing right, what we're not doing right, what we could do better, what we need to drop. And we spent a lot of time in prayer and in discussions and everything. One of the changes we made, we brought it down to a one-year program. We figure that people who are involved in life and in family and everything, it's a little different over there than it is here. Over there, it was not a good thing to be gone for 2 years from home to be in school. Our teachers are Russian, Ukrainian, and American teachers. It is a 32-course comprehensive curriculum. One of the other things that we changed, and by the way, we are the Lord willing, we will a year from right now, September of 2016, we will begin the full-time campus program again. So this is, we're on the countdown. It will have been 3 years of the temporary suspension. But one of the things that we discovered that we're going to do different when we start it back is to require married students to come with their families. It's just not good here or anywhere for a man to be pulled away from his wife and his family for an extended period of time. And over there, you're talking about 11 time zones. We had students through the years that have come from hundreds and hundreds of miles away. No way to make weekend visits home. And so we decided that this is the way it was when I was in school. We were required to have our family with us. And that's the way it's going to be from this point on in our and we're going to take care of them financially and so on. That's part of where your support goes. They are going to be trained for full-time ministry. When they graduate, we cannot and have never promised them a job. We can't do that, and we don't do that. We do promise them that during the year that we're here, that you're here, we're going to adequately take care of you and your family while you're studying to do full-time work in the kingdom. And when you leave, we're going to try our best to get you support, however, from Russian, part American, however it might come together, so that you can do full-time work. And that's what's needed in Russia. More and more and more full-time evangelists working in the kingdom. They are trained for full-time ministry. The women's program, it's been going on since the second year of the college's existence. When we were living over there, my wife had a part in getting this women's program put together. No, we're not training women preachers. What we do is we train them how to teach the Bible to children. And when these ladies go through the program, the one-year program, they go back to their local congregations. They're teaching women in the women's classes and the women's programs at home. They are having Bible classes. They know how to do a lesson plan. They know how to make visuals. They know the Bible itself. And again, they're helping to make that congregation stronger. Special classes when we get started back in a year, and preachers training full-time will have their families with them. The wives of preachers, there will be also now some special courses or classes for them. Here are some of our graduates. I've forgotten now the exact number of graduates. It's way over 100 through the years. You'll see most of these are couples, And it's kind of like our Christian schools here. A lot of times when you send your young person to a Christian school, they come out 4 years later, 2 years later, whatever, with a Christian mate. And that's good. That's happened in our school. The couple up in the upper left-hand corner, Igor was a resident there in Syktyvkar. He went through the Bible school. He was on this side of the hallway in the building. Tanya, his wife, was on the other side of the hall in the ladies' class, learning how to do work with children and so on. They kind of met in the middle and things happened. And I actually had the privilege of marrying this couple, but there are many others here just like them, graduating, learning how to work in the kingdom. Here are some of the churches of Christ in Russia that our graduates have gone back to and are having an impact. Of the 55-plus congregations in Russia, about 20 of them have preachers that came through our school. Actually, there are only two schools in Russia. At some point, about 10 years ago, there were more than two, but it's come down to just our school and one in St. Petersburg. And the one in St. Petersburg is sort of morphing into something else. They do a lot of online, internet type things. It's good what they're doing. But what we're doing, we're not in competition, of course, but what we're doing is more comprehensive. It's taking people all the way through the Bible. And so that's what we're about. That's what you're about as a part of it. Here is the map that I was telling you about Brother Gennady. This is an old map from when it was the USSR. And it includes Ukraine. I've kind of, over there on the left, I went ahead and drew a line separating Ukraine from Russia. But at the beginning, all of this was together. Every red dot that you see there represents a congregation where Gennady, over the past 10 years or so, has gone and visited, sat down, seen firsthand what the needs are, what the strengths are, what the weaknesses are, and how our school can help. Can address those. Most are under 50 in membership. More of them are more like 20 and 25 in number. Most lack leadership. Many lack preachers and teachers. Overall, there is a decline. When this thing opened up in the early 90s, when the curtain came down, the doors flew open, everybody was on the bandwagon about going to Ukraine and Russia and the former Soviet states. The gospel was being preached. It was honeymoon. And there were baptisms. There were churches planted all over the place. But then it began to level out and the honeymoon was over. The novelty of Americans being there is over. In fact, even now they're moving due to some attitudes over there in government, they're sort of reverting to an anti-American sentiment. That hasn't affected our work to this point as yet. But overall, there is a decline. We didn't finish our work. And you and others like you have stayed the course with us. We can't abandon the work. We can't abandon what has been done through the gospel, and let it go back to Satan. And you're a part of making this, to bring this thing around, to revert it, and to get us on an incline rather than a decline. So here's our challenge, and that is simply to preach the gospel to the lost and teach the word to the saved, to the best of our ability with the programs that we have in the school. Two scriptures by Paul that mean a lot to me. And the first one is in Philippians 1, that congregation that Paul felt so intimate with and close to. And there he says, I thank my God for your fellowship or partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That's how I feel toward you and other congregations and individuals who support this work. We're in a partnership. We're in a fellowship of the gospel in that part of the world. And then, of course, you look at those 55-plus congregations, about 20 of them with preachers, a lack in spiritual leadership among them, so much work to be done. What comes upon me daily, Paul said, is my deep concern for all the churches. And that's our concern. The Lord is working through us, and anything that is accomplished, it is by God's grace and power that it happens through us, through you, and through others like you. And so we just simply thank you for your vision, for your support, commitment to the Syktyvkar Bible School. You've been with us from the early 90s, and you're still with us, and we do appreciate that so very much. And we just simply ask that God will bless our fellowship in the gospel going forward. I do send out a newsletter about a quarterly newsletter about every 3 months. It comes, I've been in contact with, who have I been in contact? Where are you? One of your elders. And about getting a picture of us and the work there. But we try to keep you informed by way of our newsletter that we send to the office here and maybe on a bulletin board that you have. In fact, when we were here at the open house downstairs, we saw your bulletin board, I believe it was, and the Syktyvkar work there. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and may God bless us as we continue to go forward. When you talk about mission work, and fellas, you can turn this off now if you want to. We talk a lot about open doors. In fact, in the passage there in Acts 14 that I started with, it's one place where Paul said that the Lord has opened a door of faith to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. And other places, Paul will use that term, an open door. And that's what we have. We have an open door of opportunity. Sometimes the doors will open up and then they will close. Sometimes the doors that are closed will open up. It's God that opens the doors. It's we who go through the doors of opportunity. Over in the book of Revelation, the first few chapters, you're familiar with the letters to the seven churches of Asia. And there in chapter 3, when he's writing to the church at Philadelphia, he again speaks of an open door. Notice what he says in Revelation 3, beginning with verse 7. And to the angel of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. And it's interesting that the very next church that our Lord addresses is the lukewarm church, Laodicea. And in a sense, he talks about a door there too. He prays the church at Philadelphia for going through the open doors that the Lord had presented to them. But notice now that the Lord is writing to Christians in this church. And he comes on down to verse 20 and notice what the Lord says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so the Lord is writing to Christians. At one point, they had opened the door of their heart to obey the gospel, to accept the gospel and to obey the gospel. They are Christians, children of God, on the way to heaven. But somewhere along the way, while the Laodicean church is going about its work, assembling for worship and whatever else, somehow or another, the Lord got on the outside. Here he is on the outside, knocking on the door. And although God opens all of the other doors, this is one door the Lord will not open, because it's the door to the heart. And only you and I can open that door. And so Jesus is wanting back into his church. And he's knocking at the door. I don't know if anyone hears him or not. If you have an ear to hear, listen to what's being said. Where are you tonight? I don't know your situations. You and the Lord know where you are. Are you here and not a Christian? More than likely, you've attended classes here and heard sermons from this pulpit, and you know that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood as an atonement for our sins, that he rose victorious on the third day and he sits now at God's right hand, and that the gospel is there. Surely you know that belief in Jesus as the Son of God is necessary. You can't be pleasing without it. Surely you must know that in order to go to heaven, to obey the gospel, that you have to repent. You have to turn around, change your lifestyle, change your attitude. Be willing to confess the name of Christ before others. And then finally, the Bible teaches that you must be immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And upon doing that, completing your obedience to the gospel, you have come up out of the water a new creature to walk in newness of life. Don't you want that? If you're not a Christian, what, as Ananias said to Paul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. If you're here a Christian and somehow you've find Jesus on the outside of your heart and knocking, wanting to get back in, by all means, don't let the night pass without doing that. And if that necessitates coming before this assembly, to either ask for prayers or to ask forgiveness or to make a public confession, a public sin, we encourage you to do that. And that's the purpose of the song that's been selected. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing.